We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Okay, guys, welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Promescent. Listen, here at the Believe You Me podcast, we want you to have a good time with your significant other, okay? We're talking about in the bedroom. We're talking about that private time at night, which is why I want to tell you about a proper sexual enhancer, which is the Promescent Delay Spray that has been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last a little bit longer in bed. It takes the edge off, keeps sensitivity levels down, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. No prescriptions, no mess, no pesky subscriptions required. Just a better time in the bedroom guaranteed with a 60-day money-back policy.
Yeah, maybe you guys don't know this, but it takes the average woman over 18 minutes to climax and the average man just less than 5 minutes. So there's this massive gap between men and women, and we need to close that gap. The way you do that is by delaying it, okay? Take the delay spray, you spray it on yourself, it takes down your sensitivity levels, and you're able to go that much longer, pleasure your significant other that much better, and better sex means a better relationship, means a better life.
So see what the buzz is about, all for yourself, and grab a bottle along with all your sexual wellness products, from specially formulated arousal gels to supplements and more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. So go to promescent.c, promescent.c, no promo code needed, as they're offering free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Once more, promescent.com. They've got a assortment of products to enhance your sex life, but let's start this goddamn show.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
He's just fucking around with the background. The fuck is that lamp? Anyway, we're rolling. Leave that in if you want, Brian. 9 minutes, 33 on the clock. Luis J. Gomez is back. I am back. I'm very tired. We had a lot of festivities at the weekend. We had great UFC action. We had some shit show on Showtime, but still, it was fun. I was there, but I'm here. I'm with you in spirit, Luis. I'm very tired, although I'm coming to a little bit. That's the beauty of coffee. But how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm still, you know, harboring a little bit of resentment for the lack of respect that BT Sports showed the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake and the request for tickets for Michael Bisping. BT Sports, you're dead to me. It's okay.
Newsflash, I don't think you ever existed to them.
You said it's for me. They ignored you. Wait a minute. They disrespected you, Michael Bisping.
I don't know if they did. I might have forgotten to ask.
You piece of shit. You told me you asked.
I think I did. I think I dealt with about 20 odd people. Honestly, it was hard, yeah. But I did at some point.
I said, fucking around.
I know you are. I said, can I get some tickets to one of the people? They said, we'll come back to you. And no one came back. And believe it or not, I had bigger fish to fry. And you didn't want to go there anyway, although it was a lot of fun. But
it did seem like it'd be a lot of fun. The reality was I was sort of torn because I had already invited everybody over to my place. Brian was over. Brian came over to my house. A bunch of the Gas Digital people came over. So I had a barbecue as well, which was impromptu. We were supposed to order pizzas. And then like last minute, I was like, you know what, dude, let's get some propane. Let's get some food. Let's get some burgers. Propane?
I've never had propane. That at a barbecue before.
For the grill.
Oh, let's throw some propane on there. Oh, you want to try it? Chicken infused propane. It's awesome.
Well, I just got this grill. My sister-in-law gave me this grill and I haven't even used it at all this summer. So I was like, let's do it. So we got a bunch of burgers. I ordered three times too much food. I was like, dude, I want to order enough so everybody could have two of everything, which was
That's what Rebecca does. Rebecca does. Whenever we barbecue, like last week, there was me, Ellie, Rebecca, and Lucas. Ellie is pretty much a vegan right now. You know what I mean? So Callum's not here. He's the big eater. I'm constantly trying to be on a diet, although I fail miserably. Right. Ellie's pretty much a vegan. She'll have a little bit of chicken. That's about it. Certainly doesn't eat pork. I've been a great influence on her. But she is a borderline vegan. And I don't know why every time she's like, right, okay, so we've got these steaks. We've got some chicken. We've got some sausages. Well, I'm like, whoa, stop. We don't need all of these meats. Yeah. Maybe one meat. Okay, a steak with some sides is plenty. Steak with chicken, that's like a lot. Steak, chicken, sausage, and then all the other stuff. It's like, what are you doing here? I have to cook it all. No one comes and stands with me while I'm grilling away. I mean, a decent supportive family would stand there, listen to your anecdotes, laugh at your jokes, hand you a beer on occasion. You know, no, they come out at the final minute, kind of like when you were here. You know, you got to play the game, Lewis. Next time you're at someone's house and they're having a barbecue, I bet when you were barbecuing, all your little sycophants stood around, laughed at your jokes and made you feel welcome. You just rock up when it's all cooked and go, feed me, and then you eat and then you fuck off back inside. That's not the ritual of a barbecue. That's not how it goes down. You have to go out to the grill. It's a communal thing while the person's cooking. And you know, the guy's not standing out there in solitary confinement cooking for everybody like it's a chore. That's not a barbecue.
Well, do you want me to be honest?
No, I want you to lie to me.
I didn't even cook. My friend Robert Kelly, who's been on the show, the great comedian Robert Kelly, he's great at barbecuing. And I was like, you know what? You cook. And I got stoned and I let my friend do all the barbecuing at my house, which is, it's like, that's like being cooked. The closest thing to being cooked is letting another man grill for all of your family and friends while you stand there and just watch him.
I was just going to say you lost your man card. Do you know what I mean? And you didn't really have one anyway to start with, but whatever the section of a man card you had has been revoked, okay? Any true man handles the fucking grilling, okay? At my house, it's a war.
You're a psycho, I know. You, dude, I tried. You don't touch. Offered, he looked at me like I was trying to fucking attack
because I'm a real man. Because I'm a real man. It's my house. It's my grill. It's my meat. It's my shrimp. I pay the bills. I'm paying for the gas. Goddamn, I will cook it, and right. I will get the compliments. No one else is getting complimented on that meat. I pay for it. I'll cook it.
Listen
and you
to me.
Thank me.
I thank you for that meat, my friend. Okay. I thank you for your thick meat.
Don't go into details.
Look, it was really fun, though. But so instead of doing pizza like we were planning on, everyone came over. There was burgers. There was hot dogs, sausages, chicken thighs, ribs, corn on the cob, potatoes. I mean, a whole spread. So everyone comes over. Then... Here, I fucked up my diet. That's why I'm so bloated today. Dude, I had a burger, but then we had cupcakes, and then we had s'mores.
Oh, yeah.
Broke at the fire pit, had s'more. I mean, just fucking so good, dude. And this was just, this is before the fights even started. We're so grilling up everything. So it was a pretty eventful evening. It was a lot of fun. The kids were there. It was awesome.
But let me show you my lead into that fight. By the way, we should be focusing more on the UFC fight because that was the true spectacle of brilliance at the weekend. There were some fucking sensational fights. We're going to get into that. Well done, Giga Chikadze. I'm tired, and I'll tell you why I'm tired. So I fly into Vegas Friday. I normally drive, but I was going up to Cleveland, so I drove this time. Didn't get there till 9 o'clock. Got in, had some food. By the time I got to bed, it was like 12:30, 1 a.m. Woke up at 4 a.m. for some reason because I'm in a crappy hotel with a shitty bed. That's why. Could not get the temperature right. Either boiling hot or freezing cold. You know what I mean? You ever stay in a hotel room when it's like that? It's so annoying. Anyway, so I'm up at 4. I commentate all day. Finish at 10 p.m. Leg it fast to the airport. Jump on a plane at 11:45 up to where I got Detroit. 3.5 hours to Detroit. Then I had 3.5 hour layover from 5 a.m. to 8:20. 3 hours, 20 minutes. Jumped on another plane to Cleveland. Get to Cleveland, exhausted.
Question?
Go ahead.
Cheeky little drink on that layover at 5 o'clock in the morning?
One beer with my bacon and eggs because I'm like, I'm in an airport. And by the way, that 3.5 hour layover, I almost missed my connecting flight.
One beer with my eggs is a hilarious sentence.
No, give me bacon and eggs. Turkey bacon, please. I don't eat pork. And then I'm like, I've got all the time in the world. I've got all the time. And I'm observing this father and son next to me. And the father was almost dead. He was in a wheelchair. And bless him, he had like liver spots all over his face. And he was very, very old. And like, he was clearly, I don't know, maybe a little senile or whatever, you know. And then the son was in his 50s and he was sitting there basically not ignoring his dad. Do you know what I mean? And you can see what was going on. Maybe they're spending a little time. It looked like this poor gentleman didn't have long left on this planet. And anyway, I was getting all emotional. I was listening in and everything. And then I thought I had all the time in the world. And I look at my watch. It's 8:05. The plane leaves at 8:20. I've been sitting here for 3 hours like a dickhead. And now I'm going to miss it. Anyway, I rush to the airport, get on the plane. Just last person to board, of course, like an idiot. Then I get to Cleveland, right? And I'm a mess at this point. I am so tired. I haven't slept since Friday night. I get to the hotel. No room. No room. Are you frozen or are you just sad?
No. My mind is blown that BT Sports would once again disrespect you.
BT Sports. I thought ahead. I had forward thinking. I thought, well, I'm going to check in at like 9:30 a.m. I'm not going to be able to check in at that time. Typically, hotels, it's like 4 p.m., sometimes 5 p.m., which is crazy. So I'm not going to be able to check in. So I said, listen, I know it's a ball ache and I know it's a waste of money, but you're going to have to book two nights because I need to check in. When I get there, I've got to go to sleep, get a quick 2-hour nap or whatever before I work because I'm going to be exhausted. Of course, no problem. So I get there and I walk up to the guy and I've got the voice recording. I should have sent it through because it's funny because I started recording the guy. I get there and as I walk up and the only person there, I say, hi, checking in. He goes, oh, checking in. I'm like, yeah, checking in. He goes, oh, you'll be lucky. We've got no rooms. And I'm like, well, that's okay because I booked ahead. Okay. We're sold out. We are sold out. And I said, well, that's okay. I booked two nights. Do you know what I mean? So you should be waiting there. He goes, let me take a look. And he's tapping away furiously on the computer. And then he goes, we've got no rooms. We've got no rooms. I said, no.
You're in my room.
I booked two nights.
Yeah.
He goes, yes, but you never showed up. I said, what do you mean I didn't show up? I said, I'm showing up now. He said, but we didn't think you were coming. So we've sold the room. I'm like, whoa. And now I'm starting to fucking lose my mind.
This is where you get arrested for beating up a hotel clerk.
No.
Tired after traveling.
I'm fucking exhausted.
Oh,
and I say, what the fuck? And he goes, sir, if you're going to use profanity, this is not going to work. I say, whoa. I said, no. I said, whoa. Cut the fucking shit. I said, there's two guys. There's no one else around. You're telling me after I've traveled all night that I've got no bedroom. Okay. And I'm saying, what the fuck? Don't pull that shit with me, pal. Yeah. Right. You fucked up here. He goes, I haven't fucked up. He said, you should have called and let us know you were going to be here late. I said, no, I shouldn't. I said, I paid for the room. If I don't even want to go near the room, that's my prerogative. He goes, well, you should have called Expedia and let them know. I said, have you ever heard of anybody in their wildest dreams calling Expedia to say, I'm going to be a little bit late? And he started getting a little weird and he was shaking. His hands were shaking and he was being very erratic. I'm telling you, he was being very, very erratic, right? So I'm like, why are you shaking so much? Why are you shaking?
Oh, no.
I said, are you on drugs? And the more I said that, the more I pressed him on the drugs thing. He started getting fucking super defensive and super weird. And I said, right, I'm going to film this conversation. And he goes, sir, do not film this. You do not have my permission to film. I said, okay, I won't film, but I put my voice recorder on. And I start filming. And so I start recording the conversation. He said, are you filming? And I show him at a black screen because obviously you can close it down. It's still recording. Yeah. I said, no, look. I said, why are you shaking so much? Question. I said, you're on... Go
sorry,
ahead.
I don't mean to cut you off because this is genuinely an intriguing story.
Go on.
You have this voice memo. Can we please just play it?
Well, hold on.
Because now it picks up right here in the story. So yeah, you don't have to say anything else. You can just literally go boom.
We missed the start, but I'm like, it's better if I give it a little bit of color. I'm like, okay. Are you on drugs?
Also, what state was this in? I need to check the legality of us playing it.
Ohio.
Shut up, pussy.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Brian. Don't be a fucking buzzkill. I mean, fair enough, saving us from getting sued. And I said, why are you shaking? Why are you shaking so? Why are you being so erratic? I said, I don't trust you right now. I said, you are being very strange. I said, is there someone else I can deal with? And he's shaking like, his hands are shaking like that. I said, why are you shaking? He goes, I haven't had any breakfast this morning, okay? I said, right. I said, sorry, buddy. I said, I fast every day. Sometimes I don't eat till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Makes me feel better.
It's only 9 o'clock. I said, I've never had shakes. I said, I have extremely low blood sugar. I said, oh, you're on drugs. Which one is it? I said, maybe if you just give me a room, I'll go away and we could all forget about this. And lo and behold, within 30 seconds, there's your key. There's your, and I'm like, you little shit.
One party consent, we're good.
Bisping.
I'm like, you little shit. So you had a room the whole time. You clearly had a room and you were going to send me on my way, you little prick. So anyway, so I go up to my bedroom. And of course, I ring back down. Zero. Ian, it's Mr. Bisping again. I said, what was all that about, Ian? What was all that about? He goes,
You need to get off drugs, Ian. It's a real problem. Think about your family.
I said, listen, what was all that about, Ian? He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I said, all right. Well, listen, you apologize. Oh, good. I profusely apologize, Mr. Bishop. I said, it's okay. It's all good. All good. We're good. See you, pal. Anyway, so that was that. So then I worked the Jake Paul fight, got back to my hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had to set my alarm for 5. So I had 3 hours sleep, flew down to Dallas, 4-hour flight, lay over there, flew back to bloody John Wayne, just got back, had a little half hour nap, and here we are. So I'm here in person. I'm here in spirit as well. What am I saying? I'm fucking good.
You're killing it, baby.
I'm rocking on, baby boy.
Come on now. Hey, look, it's not going to be a big, long 2-hour show like we've been giving the people lately.
They need to. In a hotel. When you book through Expedia, hotels.com, or anything like that, I can't make any changes to those reservations. It's illegal for me to do so.
I booked two nights. Expedia. I booked for two nights.
I understand that.
You have oversold the room.
I did oversell the room. You didn't show up yesterday.
No. I am, because technically, you just said check-in is until 4 a.m.
4 p.m.
4 p.m., even better. So I am here. Check-in is until 4 p.m., so I'm here well within the constraints of the day before, because it is only 10:30, so 4 p.m. is in front of the 6 hours.
So the checkout is tomorrow, then on the 30th.
Hey, listen, Ian.
Bisping, I'll tell you what I see on the computer system.
Right, okay.
Is he calling you Bisping?
Mr. Bisping.
I cannot change that reservation, so checkout is tomorrow. You're not going to move for two nights on this reservation.
You have nowhere to put me right now.
I can put you right now, but you got to give me a few minutes, but you need to understand what happened here.
You need to calm down. Your demeanor is terrible. I don't understand why you're acting like this.
Bisping, I'm acting like this because I'm trying to get you to understand what's
you're acting. You look like you're about to keel over and have a heart attack. I'm not filming yet.
I don't believe you.
Well, I'm not filming yet.
I wasn't filming him.
Yeah, you can.
Anyway, whatever. It goes That's on. Hilarious. We hasn't got to the good bit where I start accusing him of being on drugs. But still, God bless him. Whatever. There we go.
Hey, Mike, look, we're talking MMA right now, but we should be talking about how the NFL is back. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for week 1. Bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. Take advantage of this limited time offer right now. You heard right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $1 bet or more on any week 1 game.
Yeah, all you got to do is head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now to check out all the great promotions and daily odd boost. Plus, you can make every game a big game with the same game parlays. And listen, if you're a new customer to them, $1 turns into $200 in free bets. I mean, come on, whichever way you slice it, that is a significant offer. It is a very, very generous offer. And if you're going to be watching the game, you might as well get involved. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code BYM to receive the $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any week 1 game. That's promo code BYM to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And you must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indianapolis, I think, or Indiana, or Pittsburgh only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. For details. And if you've got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Okay, and let's get back into it. Where were we? Should we start with some UFC stuff?
We should. Can I ask you a question, though? We don't have to watch it on the show, but I wonder if you saw the guy that attacked you responded.
What do you mean the guy that attacked me?
The guy that attacked you in New Orleans put a video out on YouTube responding to you.
No, he didn't.
You haven't seen this? Are you kidding me?
No.
I swear to God. I just assumed you saw this. It's like a week ago I saw this. We just, I don't know what happened. I don't know why we didn't speak about this. We have to play it.
I hope so.
We have to play it. We have to play it.
Do we have it at our access at our fingertips?
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. I 100% saw it.
Yeah, are you serious?
I swear to God.
I don't know if it's him because there's been a lot of.
It's him.
There's been a lot of charlatans going around pretending to be this guy.
This guy's not a charlatan. This is him.
All right. Well, I definitely want to see this. For those people that don't know the story, I was on vacation recently in New Orleans for a long weekend, and I got assaulted on the final night of some little punk bitch. Hit me. I just laughed my head up and walked away. But still, it was a funny story. So you're saying now a video has arisen, surfaced?
Yes.
Popped up on the YouTube chisel.
I'm sure Brian is searching for it right now. I'm going to try to look. Hey, let me say this as well real quick, just while people are watching.
Did he look really tough and buff?
No, like it's definitely him. When you see the video, you're like, it's 100% him. This is great. It's so fucking funny. Even his perspective. I don't want to ruin it. What does he say about me? I don't want to give you any spoilers. I want you to respond to it. All right, so this is it. But let me just say this real quick before you play it. Like, a lot of times we look at our... Pause it for a second.
That's him.
We look at our phones during the show. I see in the comments all the time on YouTube being like, dude, stop looking at your phone. We're not texting people. We have all the notes on the show on our phone. We have Sherdog on our phone. We have like, and we also sometimes text each other if there's something to be brought up. Like, we communicate off air with the entire team. So we're never, I promise you, we're never just.
Yeah, no, and a lot of the time I'm like, I fucking hate Harrington.
Oh, yeah, she's a fucking let's fire this
there's
guy.
There's a lot of that going on. But we're not like,
I'm never watching Disney Plus while I'm doing the podcast. I promise you.
Exactly, exactly.
So yeah, this is the guy. This is so fucking crazy that you haven't seen this.
This is good. Hold on. I don't necessarily want to play this without seeing it because he's obviously bullshit version of events, right?
I'll say this. He doesn't even stray that far off from your story.
we're going to get this guy.
I'll tell you what, you're going to want to play it.
Press play, Brian. Let's go.
This is the best.
Hold on. Rebecca!
Yes. I'm so happy you haven't seen this. I'm so happy.
Come here, quick! Please be camera ready. I don't know if she's applied makeup today. Quick!
Oh, my God.
It's the guy from New Orleans. He's done a video.
Respond.
Come here, look. Come here, quick. Hurry up, because this episode's going off the rails. Lucas, come here. Oh, Lucas is here as well. The guy from New Orleans has put out a video. Look, that's him. Michael Bisping. I was the man who punched him. My full summary on Bisping. Hold on.
He sent me a DM.
Oh, my God. He sent my wife a DM.
She didn't say anything. Is she seeing him now?
No, I told him.
When did you tell me? I don't recall this.
I said the guy sent me a DM. He said, I'm the guy that punched your husband.
Lucas, come in. Right. Press play. I want to see it. Press play. We want
to
see
Lucas, what's up, buddy?
Hi.
So... I'm here today to talk to y'all about this shit that happened on Bourbon Street with me and Michael Bisping. So come to find out, he actually was a UFC fighter, which I did not know that was him.
No shit.
If I did knew that was him, I probably would have still hit this motherfucker anyways. But anyways.
This guy rules.
This the full breakdown of what happened. So he's sitting there filming a band or whatever, right? I have a high tendency of cameras being pointed towards me in certain areas and certain locations because of my past history.
I'm a criminal.
So he's filming a band or whatever, right? But I see him walk past me. I didn't recognize him. I would have recognized him, but it was too dark or whatever out there. So he's just chilling, recording the band or whatever. So I see his phone go to my face, put my hand up and say, yo, stop filming me. He says, what? I said, stop filming me. He said, this is Bourbon Street. This is a public place.
Pause it for 1 second. There's not a single discrepancy in either one of your stories right now.
Apart from, I was not filming him. I was getting the vibe. Do you know what I mean? And maybe if you're there in a public place, moron. And by the way, can I just say, we have another video of him assaulting somebody else.
I know,
He's wearing the same clothes in all three videos. Never mind your tendency for assaulting innocent people on the street.
He's like a villain.
And you need to have a shower because you always have the same clothes on. But continue, Brian.
He's like a Bond villain. He's got an outfit.
So I'm like, all right, it's a public place. Respect my mind. Don't film me. So he like, yeah, I do what the fuck I want. This is Bourbon Street.
Hell yeah, best thing.
I said, yeah, suck your dick. All right, anyways. Suck your dick, huh? It took a little bit just to register. Cause I'm like, what the fuck? So once he told me to suck his dick, I was 6 seconds in, I punched him.
Sorry, Lucas.
I punched him so quick to where it was like, it wasn't shit, but it was something. My right hand is fresh. So all that bullshit
really,
I'm talking about, I hit soft as a bitch, this and that, I'm a pussy, this and that. People who know me. So that's all I gotta say as far as that instance. But to say I actually really wanted to be a UFC fighter, And like, I actually hit a UFC fighter. That shit was crazy how it played out. But of course, he's going to actually sit there and say, oh, yeah, he hits like a bitch. He's a pussy. Everybody going to talk this shit, this and that. But Michael Bisping, you a bitch.
Hell yeah.
If you want to fight or you're one-on-one or whatever,
one-on-one.
I'm down.
He'll fuck you up, though.
Enough of this guy. Get him off the screen. Just real quick. Lucas, come here. I'm Rebecca. What was my reaction when he hit me in the face?
You laughed.
I couldn't stop laughing for about an hour, could I?
He thought it was hilarious.
It tickled him. It literally tickled him.
No, continue.
I was like, we need to leave. And you're like, yes, we are leaving. But you just couldn't stop laughing.
I couldn't stop laughing. It was literally the softest punch I've ever felt.
And I've punched you.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I know. You hit harder than him, Lewis. In
hell
fact,
yeah, dude.
This is the first time ever I'll say this. I picked you to beat him in a fight.
You know what, Bisping? He doesn't even need to challenge you. I'll take him instead of Ellis.
Take him out. Lucas. Lucas is a wrestling champion now. Lucas,
I'm not a champion.
All right, you got bronze. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know, bronze is fine.
It's okay. It's first and second loser, but whatever. We'll work on that, Lucas. You know, I'm somewhat proud, could be prouder. I'm a little bit ashamed as well. Mixed emotions on this. Anyway, guys, at this point, it's a joke. Give me a kiss. Good lad, good awesome. Lad. Right, get out of here.
Mixed bye, emotions. Kiss, then. I was going to be like, no.
Go on.
No.
Give me a kiss, woman.
No.
Give me a kiss.
Wow.
Get out of here. I don't like you anyway.
What if she just punched you harder than that?
Baby, do me a favor, plug this back in to the back of the computer. Yeah, this is a podcast, a little bit off the rails, but we like it like
That's
this.
That's so funny.
Oh,
he challenged you. He said, if you want to go one-on-one anytime, Bisping.
Send me the video because I'm going to track it down. I'm going to get my peeps. Do a little bit of, what do you call it? What's it called? IP tracking. I'm going to track this motherfucker. I'm going to find him. I have a very particular set of skills. I will find you and I will kill you. Oh, yeah. Just for the record, Michael Bisping is not making public death threats on YouTube or on a podcast or in a public domain. It's got a joke. We're having a little bit of banter. Maybe I'm serious, though. I will fucking kill this guy.
No, yeah. Stop saying that, please. Stop.
No, but I want to kill the guy. I'm joking. Oh, dear. Anyway, all right.
Yeah, look, can I give him some props?
Pop.
Kind of a real ass dude. I mean, he's not hiding. He's fucking out there.
he's in fucking New Orleans. Motherfuckers probably. Well, listen, it's New Orleans is going through a very tough time right now. Okay, Hurricane That's Ida. So I wish everybody the best. But if he ends up floating in a basement full of water, I'm just saying, it's not the biggest shame.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll tell you right now. He's not pulling a Jake Paul. He's going straight for the opponents and how to strike.
Hey, God bless you.
Jake Paul worked himself up. He started off with like a YouTuber, then a chef, then a basketball player.
Yeah. All right, let's get into these fights. Let's get onto some real stuff right now. But that is funny. Thanks for bringing that up. My God. And by the way, much love to one and all. I don't really wish you lying face down in the basement.
Honestly, I feel bad for the guy. Ultimately, it's like, you know, obviously he's... leading a fucking life of crime and, you know, doing fucked up shit. Like, dude, you're attacking people, you're attacking tourists, and you're giving your own city a fucking bad name.
No, I know, it's terrible.
In there and that, I mean, this is just some real shit. Like, you know, it's fine, you know, but this isn't going to mean anything to him, but it's like, yeah, it's not just Bisping. It wasn't just a one-off. You know,
no.
You're on video doing this to other people. This is sort of your MO. You're talking about people not filming your face because of shit you're doing on Bourbon Street. Yeah, you're kind of you're doing fucked up shit. So maybe just, you know, consider not doing it. Consider
take a long look at yourself in the mirror. You know, simple as that. Anyway, screw him. On to bigger and better stuff. And by that, I mean the UFC at the weekend. Giga Chikadze, Edson Barboza. Great fight card. I guess we'll just get right into that main event. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be a good fight. And in fact, Harrington, did that get fight of the night? Or I think Giga got performance of the night. But did it get fight of the night? I'm not sure about that one.
No, it was 4 performance bonuses.
Oh, and who were the 4?
I'll look that up right now. I know two of them were on the prelims. One was Abdul.
Abdul had to be that fucking head kick knockout. Holy shit. Listen, Giga Chikadze, Edson Barboza, everybody knew it was going to be a great fight. Two very, very good strikers. But Giga was just one step ahead, man. He's just so fast. He is so fast and so technically proficient. It's It's beautiful to watch. He is beautiful to watch. His kicking game, his striking game in general, his understanding of range, the speed and the technique when he throws stuff. And we were talking about the ground game as well. Of course, the very, very good grapplers. I mean, he almost submitted Edson with a, it was an anaconda to a Dorst and then to another one. It's a classic sequence, but still to do it in like that in the UFC. I guess a guy like Edson as well, very, very impressive. Then he gets back up and boom, drops him again. Did he drop him or just hit him with a good one? I think Jason Herzog stepped in to save Edson from any more punishment. Probably a good stoppage because I don't think much would have changed, you know. Edson was definitely about to be finished and I just think Jason saved him from any more damage.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody was even complaining about the stoppage. I didn't see anybody complaining about the stoppage. I thought it was a very good stoppage. I think, look, Edson Barboza, he's known as being like the best striker in the UFC. I mean, you know, or debatably the best striker, you know, top three, top four strikers in the UFC. And then
Rebecca just came in whilst you're talking there and we're in the middle of the flow. What did you say that for, Beck?
What'd she say?
She just brought in a picture of Alfie. In a frame with a post-it note. What? Someone sent it for you from the Gas Digital Studios. Oh, someone sent it from the Gas Digital Studios. Oh, it might be. Well, I didn't know that's what you were doing. I just thought, why is she bringing it? Look at Al. I mean, what a handsome fucking dog. And this came from, it was sent into the Gas Digital Studios. And Lewis, you were in the middle of a terrific breakdown there. I thought, why is Rebecca coming in and fucking giving me this? Of course, it makes sense. I've got to thank the person on air from Shane Quigley Murphy, is it? On Instagram, at Shane Quigley Murphy. Well, Shane Quigley Murphy, thank you very much. It looks like you can't pick it up there. But the people at Gas Digital Studios, look at that cracked screen. You owe me a new frame, Lewis.
No.
It's cracked. Owe me a new frame. It's your studio. You're responsible. You cracked the frame of Alfie. You are dishonoring the memory of Alfie. Well, fuck you, Lewis. And thank you, Shane.
I'll get you a new frame. And thank you, Shane. Thank you very much.
And thank you back. Anyway, sorry, Edson Barboza, Giga Chikadze.
Yeah, Chikadze, I mean, dude, you said it best. I think the speed was the biggest difference. I think he looked that much faster because Edson's so fast. I was super impressed. It was a really incredible performance. I think he called out Max Holloway, which is incredible. I mean, what a fucking fantastic fight. What a fantastic call out for afterwards.
It makes perfect sense. He said he wants to be a stand-in just in case anybody can't make it to the octagon for Volkanovski and Ortega. And then failing that, called out Max Holloway. And what a fight that would be. Could you imagine him and Max Holloway? I mean, remember Max Holloway, was it Kelvin Kattar on Abu Dhabi last year? He's like, I'm the best striker in the UFC back in October. And we all know
Max. We're talking about boxing specifically, they argued, I believe.
Yeah, but whatever. We know Max is fucking great all round, you know, and he is a sensational fighter, you know, and outside of Volkanovski, by far the next best. Giga Chikadze, Max Holloway, sign me up, take my money right now. And for Giga, it's perfect because, dude, you get a victory over Max Holloway. There's only one fight next, and that's the title fight. That's without a shadow of a doubt. And for Max Holloway, again, you know, he's trying to work his way back to that title fight, which it's such a shame for Max because he's realistically, I mean, those two fights with Volkanovski were razor close, but Volkanovski won. We have to respect that regardless of your opinion. Volkanovski won, and you can't get a third title fight, so you got to work your way back. And who did he beat last time? He beat Kelvin Kattar. If he beats Giga Chikadze, I mean, come on. He's got to be almost there. So, yeah, dude, great call out.
I watched a technical breakdown. There's this guy who does these really amazing technical breakdowns on YouTube. I'll get the name of the guy next time because it's great. And he just, dude, Giga, like, dude, it was the way that he beat Edson. I think that was what was most impressive. You know, the way that he just sort of read Edson, like it was another level of striking and it was really, really cool to watch. I don't know. I think he's going to be a champion. I really do. I think that people are going to have a hard time with him.
I totally agree. And, you know, and if you see the way he carries himself, he's a very mature man. He's a smart guy. You know, he's a lifelong martial artist. I mean, there's footage of him in karate tournaments when he was just a child, But on top of that, he's got the mind for it. And he's just incredible. Shame for Edson Barboza. Love that guy. You know, such a legend of the UFC. I'd say Edson Barboza is definitely Hall of Fame material when he's done. You know, the body of work that he's put in over the years certainly deserves it. Such a fan-friendly style. Always, even still after all this time in the UFC, involved in these top matchups, main events, title fight eliminators, all that type of stuff. You know, he's top draw material. Shane Fredson Barboza, always love watching him fight. And it takes two to tango. That was a sensational fight, and it takes two to tango. When you talk about a good fight, it has to be back and forth. Can't just be one guy goes out and smokes the other. That's performance of the night. And okay, Giga got that. But still, Edson made it fun whilst it lasted. Rest up, Edson. Can't wait to see you back in there. And Giga Chikadze, maybe we'll get him on the show. I'll reach out to his peeps and see what we can do.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank Blue Chew for supporting today's show. Blue Chew is an incredible partner for us, because I'll tell you right now, this is for everybody. This isn't just for the guy with erectile dysfunction, which I'll tell you right now, we'll help with that. But this is for the guy that wants to go a few extra rounds in the bedroom, who wants to pleasure his significant other a little bit more, maybe have a little bit of extra time, have a few more in the chamber. Who knows how much more you have of you to offer your partner? Blue Chew can let you find that out.
This is for the man that wants to be transformed from a man into a sexual tyrannosaurus. And let me tell you, this is what Blue Chew will do. It is an online prescription service, so no doctor visits, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And of course, it comes right to your door in discreet packaging, so nobody needs to know. This process is simple. Sign up at bluechew.com, consult with their licensed medical provider, and once you're approved, which you will be very fast, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, as I said, all done online. No one needs to know. It's no one else's business, so why should they know? Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and the right strength for your prescriptions. And by the way, you don't like swallowing pills? No problems. Because guess what? You can chew it and then you do it. And the Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and they ship directly. So it's cheaper than a pharmacy. All you got to do is to give this a try. If this sounds like something you want to pursue, something you want to look at, if you want to blow the socks off your significant other, go to bluechew.com and use the code BELIEVE. You're going to get your first month for free. Very, very good offer. Bluechew.com, believe is the code. If you want to get your first month for free, pay $5 just for shipping. That's it. Just $5 shipping. Can't have everything. Bluechew.com, code is believe. First month for absolutely free. And yeah, there you go. All right, where were we? We had two Ultimate Fighter winners crowned at the weekend. Brian Battle, which is the perfect name, by the way, for an ultimate for a UFC fighter. Brian Battle.
Yeah, solid name.
That's his last name, Brian Battle.
Yeah.
Do you know what his nickname is?
What?
I said this on the air, and I'm not talking shit. Brian Battle.
It better be okay. Good. Hold on, listen. It better rule, because his Brian name is perfect.
Battle. Think of all the fun you could have with somebody with the last name Battle, and you're a fighter, Brian.
Brian always. The last.
Brian, the best Battle. Oh, I don't know. That's a terrible one.
Brian, the final.
Yeah, Brian always in there. I don't know. There's some good ones. I'm not coming up with any right now. What do you think his nickname is?
I can only guess. There's an infinite First amount of all, words.
Let me preface this with sensational performance at the weekend and welcome to the UFC. He is the Ultimate Fighter winner and congratulations.
Sensational Brian Battle?
No, it's not that. No. Brian Sensational Battle. That would also be good. In fact, pretty much anything other than what I'm about to say. His nickname is
Hold on. We did rename another fighter recently. Are we going to have to rename Brian Battle?
Who did we rename recently?
What was her name? Maleficent.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forget who that
Miranda.
Was. Yeah, Miranda Maverick.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, check this out. I want your honest reactions. Brian Pooh Bear Battle.
No.
Pooh Bear.
No.
Pooh Bear.
No.
Pooh Bear.
I hate it. I'd rather him be Tigger.
I like the guy.
Piglet.
Tigger would be good.
Tigger, Piglet. Christopher Robbins, any of the other ones. Pooh Bear is the least intimidating of all of the Winnie the Pooh characters.
Pooh Bear was such a fucking pain in the ass. Little multi ass
pants
bastard.
On you, fucking weirdo.
Fucking dickhead. Anyway, yeah, well done, Brian Battle. Ricky Tercios won as well in the bantamweight division. I forget his nickname, but he just doesn't resonate much like Pooh Bear does. Maybe that's why it's so good, because you'll never forget it. You know what I mean?
I wish I could.
Oh, because you'll never stop talking shit. One or the other. But still, he looked very, very, very good beating Gilbert or beating it.
But you know what? Can I say sometimes a nickname when it's like ironically like soft?
Yeah.
I kind of like those in a weird way.
Yeah, sure. I get what you're saying. They're playing on the, the fact that I'm not a tough guy. I don't have to call myself the psycho, the beast.
Yeah. Those names all sort of stink. You know what I'm saying?
A little self-deprecating.
Yeah, doesn't take himself too seriously. I kind of like it in a weird way. I hated it at first, but Brian, guess what, baby boy?
Are you saying you've done a big 180?
Big 180. I love it.
It's a celebration bell. It's not a shame bell anymore. It's a celebration bell.
I fucking love him. Do Brian Battle, Pooh Bear. I'm your biggest fan.
We've turned Pooh Bear into a good nickname. We've turned the shame bell into the celebration bell. What else is going to happen?
Holy shit, dude. Black is white. White is black.
People are beating me up in Bourbon Street and doing videos celebrating it.
And we love him. We'll give this guy his own segment on the fucking show every week.
Let's go. Let's get him on the show.
Sir, he's going to see this. Please reach out. We can have you guys talk. I think you can convince Bisping to come out of retirement.
And no. I don't want to fight this guy because I really don't. But listen, whatever your name is, buddy, come on the show. bympod@gmail.com. Send us a little email. Put your mouth where your fists were. Do you know what I mean? Other way around. It's opposite day. Celebration of life,
baby.
I'll
tell you right now, I'll put Harrington against him, and I'm not positive Harrington's going to beat him.
I mean, that's bad. That's bad for this guy. I'll pay this guy $1,000 to box Harrington.
Yes.
I swear to God.
You got to beat him, though. You got to beat Harrington.
The New Orleans Street Assaulter, okay? Reach out to bympod@gmail.com. I will give you $1,000. No,
and
just
that's
got to
be his nickname.
Just to show up. The New Orleans Street Assaulter. The Bourbon Street Bastard.
Yeah. The Bourbon Street Bastard. No, the Bourbon Street Bastard's a badass fucking
That's
name, dude.
That's a good
dude.
Name. Yo, what's Street up? Kyle, the Bourbon Street Bastard, whatever. Oh, that's a good name.
Kyle, the Bourbon Street Bastard Johnson.
I just called him Kyle for some reason.
I like
the
it.
Bourbon Street Bastard. Oh, yeah, let's go.
That's also the name of today's episode, the Bourbon Street Bastard.
I don't know. Opposite day, I think, is better. But still, Ricky Tercios. If you didn't, I know you didn't watch the show, but he was a big character, very, very entertaining guy. You know, just listening in any interview, he just goes off on a tangent. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you feel me, dog? You know what I'm saying? He's high energy nonstop. And that's the way he fights as well. His fights on The Ultimate Fighter were fantastic. So Ricky Tercios, welcome to the UFC and well done on a good victory at the weekend. Before that, though, we had D-Rod, Daniel Rodriguez, Kevin Lee. I'm assuming you saw that fight.
I did. Yeah. Poor Kevin Lee.
Yeah. Kevin
he looked
Lee
good. He looked good early in the fight.
Kevin Lee is good. He is good. Yeah. You know, it's such a shame for. It's not a shame. He's not winning fights, and that's because he's not winning fights. But he's one of these guys. He has all the potential in the world. And you know, Kevin, for the most part, seems to rub people up the wrong way. All my interactions with him have been positive. I mean, I don't know him that well, but whenever I see him, you know, we shoot the shit for 5 minutes or whatever. And I like the guy. I like his energy. He's always kind of upbeat, you know. Yeah, he's a cocky fucker, but he's fighting in the UFC. You're supposed to be a cocky fucker. It comes with the territory. But he's got so much potential. He's a natural athlete. He's very explosive. He's a good wrestler. He's a good striker. He's got the right attitude. He's not afraid to talk a little shit, but he's just struggled putting it together against the top people in the UFC, you know. But I still like watching him fight. Still tune in. He's still got good name value. But Daniel Rodriguez, excuse me. Daniel Rodriguez is a bad man and just decisioned him. Stop the takedowns. Daniel Rodriguez is a much, much bigger guy as well. Great Thai boxer. Big dude for 170. And he's a bad man. He's a bad man in there. He's a very, very good striker. He's a mean son of a bitch as well. We'll get Daniel Rodriguez on here. I'll reach out to him, no problem. He'd come on. But yeah, he's a real one. He's a real one. He ain't no Bourbon Street bitch. I'll pay $5,000 for the Bourbon Street bitch versus Daniel Rodriguez. Not in the UFC, though. I don't think Daniel would sanction that one. But still, that was a good one. What else stood out on the card? Oh, Alicia De Kirico got knocked out in a big way off Abdul Razak Al Hassan. Nice to see him back to winning ways.
Yeah.
Okay, good input.
Good. You know, it was nice. It was a nice headbutt.
It was, though. It's fucking hell. Jesus Christ. What was that? 17 seconds. I mean, there was a guy, Razak Al Hassan, he was the knockout artist, knocking everybody out. And then who was it? Manuel Lazares, beaten by decision. And then he had a couple of other losses as well. He got knocked out by Chaos Williams, and then he lost another decision. So it looked like he was on the downslide.
Williams and Brian Battle need to form a tag team together.
The Bourbon Street bitch and Chaos Williams. Fuck me, what a tag team that would be. But he rebounded his style. First strike of the night. Head kick, boom. Put the Kidico to sleep. And the Kidico's tough, man. Oh, let's take a look. Wait for it. Bang. Boom. There it is. Oh, he wasn't unconscious, pardon me. He wasn't unconscious, but he was seeing stars. He was definitely
worse. I would rather be unconscious.
Yeah, I don't know. It's more embarrassing. You're going to see that footage of you on TV. You come around, you don't know quite where you are. You don't know what's going on, you know, but you're piecing it together. Like when I got knocked out against Gastelum with Omar Kornerman, because you know what's kind of what's going on and everyone's concerned for you, but you're playing it down. But realistically, you don't know what the fuck's going on. Yeah. But you're pretending that you do because you got to still get your pride as a man. So you're like, yeah, I'm good. But you don't even know what day it is. Do you know what I mean? They're like,
you're good. You're like, early stopping.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm like, is it opposite day? What is going on? Because I'm telling
maybe that's
you
what happened. Maybe
want.
That guy in Bourbon Street hit you so hard that you thought it was funny. It tickled you. It was that hard. You've never been hit that hard.
The Bourbon Street bitch packs quite a punch. I felt bad for Darren Stewart. Obviously, he's a British guy, and I like Darren Stewart. He's a good guy. I like him. He's a great fighter. We're keeping up quite the schedule. He came up short against Dustin Jacoby. Oh, that was always a tough fight. Dustin Jacoby is a fucking good kickboxer, man. Hits very hard. He's massive for the light heavyweight division as well. Darren went up against Eric Anders last time to light heavyweight from middleweight. Stayed there for this fight as well. He just got sick of pushing himself and killing himself to make 185, which I do get that, but I think his frame is better suited to 185, if I'm honest. But still, wishing you nothing but love and best wishes going forward, Darren. And again, for Dustin Jacoby, what a fucking result. Unbelievable. And then that's pretty much it, I reckon. The roundup, Manny Martinez defeated Guido Canetti, Pat Sabatini. Oh, we're going to talk about that. Harrington was jumping in with that. Yeah, the heel hook. I talk about it all the time, and I talked about it Saturday night because he had a toe hold on, who did he fight? Guido Canetti. It was Jamal Emmers, Guido Canetti. They went to the floor, whatever the sequence was, and Jamal was going for a toe hold. And I even said, because Brendan Fitzgerald goes, oh, he's got the toe hold. I said, yeah, toe hold, schmal hold. Because Guido was going for
that?
I did. I said it on there. We got sound on this, but look at this. So
toe
look,
hold, schmal hold.
I did. I said, toe hold, schmal hold, man. Because I'm telling you, the heel hook is a career ender. Press play.
For Emmers versus heel hook attempt for Sabatini.
Yeah, but that toe hold's tighter right now, right, Mike?
Yeah, but toe hold, small hold.
Yes.
You know,
is that what they call it?
Yeah, well, listen, it's a little bit of pain.
Painful, yeah. You can hurt the ankle a little.
Forced to tap.
Thanks, Brian. See, that's the thing, and I've seen it so many times in training. In training, honestly, like when I used to train back in England, and people are a little bit too proud for their own good in training. You know what I mean? You're rolling against someone, you know, unless say there's someone in the gym or on the mat that, you know, you guys are really competitive. You always have, you know, close matches. You don't want to tap to that guy. But so the pride takes over. But if somebody gets you in the heel hook position, I used to always just tap, because I've seen that in the gym so many times where people don't tap because you're good. You're good. The toe hold doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt until it just fucking annihilates the innards of your knee. There's no pain, and then there's just total destruction. It's not like it's just a bolt of lightning comes out of the blue. There's nothing, and then everything blows. So if somebody gets you in the toe hold, the heel hook position, you just got in training. I was going, all right, fair enough. You got it. I'm not playing.
Well,
in
a lot of jiu-jitsu schools, they don't even let you do heel hooks or toe holds as a white belt. Yeah. You have to be more experienced.
In amateur MMA as well. Well, certainly in the UK. I don't know about the States, obviously, because I wasn't doing amateur here, but I know they don't even allow heel hooks in amateur MMA because it's so dangerous. You know, the toe hold, yeah, great. You can get a submission, but you're just going to get a bit of pain with the toe hold. You know, and you might do a little bit of damage. I remember I was actually in New Orleans, funnily enough, a long time ago, doing a seminar. And I was at the end of my seminars, I used to do a little thing where I go around and tap everyone out in the room one by one because they all want to roll with you. So they can go home and tell everyone. And there was one guy, he was on the floor, like with his open guard, and he had his foot there. So I just grabbed and did a rolling heel hook, but I put a little bit too much pressure into it. I went, fuck. I was like, oh shit, I think I'm just taking this fucking.
Get out of here.
I've just crunched. There was a lot of crunching going on in that foot. I'm like, are you okay? I was terrified because it's a seminar. It's not a good look. You're not supposed to be doing that to these old guys, but still. But great fight. Great fight Saturday night. Should we get into this Jake Paul stuff?
We have to. Let's do plugs real quick before we change gears here. You love the show. Go to our YouTube, subscribe. Leave us a five-star rating on iTunes as well, Google Play, really anywhere you get the podcast, and download and subscribe to it. You guys fucking love the positivity and the positive comments. Always incredible. Thank you so much for all of that. You guys get the entire On Demand library. Every episode of the show that we've ever done is all available ad-free, uncensored, and in one place. Hundreds of episodes, all available at gasdigitalnetworks.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. You get instant access to everything and all the other shows on the network as well. Live stuff coming up. I'm officially coming to England with Michael Bisping to open up for him for an evening with Michael Bisping. Tell us from the Octagon. So you can get tickets at myticket.uk.co.
No, myticket.co.uk. It's okay, Lewis. Don't worry about it. Just leave that bit to me.
I try. I really do try.
Dublin 100% sold out. London, we were going to do two nights there, but we switched one night to, instead of two in London, we're going to do an extra one in Birmingham. So if you're in the Birmingham area, there's tickets available. myticket.co.uk, Glasgow, Manchester, Dublin, London, Birmingham, Manchester, Glasgow. There you go. And by the way, little competition time. If you want two tickets and let's say you can't afford them, you just want to win some. If you do a little video as to why you should be the recipient of two tickets to one of those venues other than Dublin, because that's sold out. In fact, fuck it, we'll throw Dublin on there as well because I've got a few personal bad boys. You take two of my personals. Any of those cities, all you got to do is do a video saying why you should be the recipient. Could be funny, could be heartfelt, could be a good reason, could be boring, whatever. And tag me and hashtag Tales of the Octagon. I'll watch all the videos and the winner gets two tickets that's available for every city. And I'll play the video on my Instagram as well. Maybe get you a few followers and you get some free tickets. And you can buy a ticket at myticket.co.uk. But there you go. Anyway.
Also, I got some live stuff coming up as well. I'll be down in Austin September 30th through October 2nd. At the Creek in the Cave in Austin, Texas. Check me out there. Some other stuff coming up. I got gigs in Long Island. I'm going to be out in Ontario, California. I'll be in Toronto coming up in December. Lots of stuff coming up, guys. Go to lewisofskanks.com and grab tickets for any of my live shows.
All righty. So I flew into Cleveland and we did the, I went to the fight. I got to say, it was good. It was a good night. Where should we start? I mean, we'll just go through those earlier fights. There was some good fights, some good boxing, I thought. We're not going to break them all down too much, but I enjoyed. There was Montana Love taking on Ivan, I think it's Barachanko, yeah.
That was a good fight.
Yeah, from Belarus. That was a fucking great fight.
Yeah, the Russian guy had crazy power, and yeah. it was exciting because he was creating moments, but yeah, the other dude.
Montana Love. Yeah, he got him out of there. That was a great fight. And then there was a female fight, and Amanda Serrano, she was the winner. I got to say, fuck me, that was a great fight, but I do have a slight issue with that fight.
What's that?
What do you think the issue is?
You don't respect women.
It's actually the opposite. It's the opposite. I do respect women greatly, and that's is where the issue comes in.
Okay, please tell me.
Equality. They were only doing 2-minute rounds.
Were they?
The women's fight was only 2-minute rounds.
That's some old school shit.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, in the UFC, we could do 5-minute rounds. You know what I mean?
Do you remember back in the day when like Gina Carano was champion back in the day? They were doing 3-minute rounds.
Yeah, that's right. MMA. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I remember it was like, it's literally just stupid.
Yeah.
That's not like the cardio and being, being athletically able to handle the extra minute, the extra 2 minutes of time. I don't think that's really an issue at all. It just seems like you're making the fans miss out on just some more action.
And then potentially taking away the possibility of a finish as well. But still, don't harp on the negatives too much. That was just one little gripe that I had. But still, great fight, Amanda Serrano won.
How often
won.
Does that happen? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm going to shock you now. I don't watch too much women's boxing.
I bet it happens. I bet it's probably just regularly within the rules. I don't know.
I'm assuming it is. But still, there was that. And then what was the co-main? Oh, fucking the boy from England, Daniel Dubois. My God, he's good. He is good. Went out there, knocked out his opponent, Joku Samano, first round. Daniel Dubois, one loss on his record to Joe Joyce, got a fractured orbital and stayed down on one knee. Prior to that, he knocked everybody out, put bar one. Since then, he's rebounded. He's had two quick knockouts as well. So Daniel Dubois, keep an eye out for that guy, repping the UK in a big, big way. So shout out him. Do you know, he's a very, very shy guy. And I was talking to someone last night. He doesn't even have a cell phone. Can you believe that?
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does in a kind of way. I remember when my phone broke on holiday, I had no contact. But he has no social media. He has no phone. He has nothing. He does have a social media presence. I'm letting the cat out of the bag here, but that's his promoters and stuff. They all do it for him. You know, to build an online profile. But yeah, no, not even a cell phone. Very interesting.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, obviously very satisfied with his life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly. No, no, no. It was just interesting. I just found that interesting.
Probably a fucking weirdo. Probably a weird guy to hang out with.
The Bourbon Street bitch. I'm not calling Daniel Dubois a bitch. I don't know why I said that.
All right. Just let's take a moment and thank Paleo Valley for supporting today's show. Paleo Valley makes incredible 100% grass-fed beef sticks. You guys know, if you're on a diet, if you guys are exercising, if you're just trying to be healthy in general, beef jerky is probably already a part of your diet. It's quick. It's fast. You grab a bag of it. It's really available anywhere you go. You can be at a gas station in the middle of the country and find some beef jerky. You can be up in the mountains and find some beef jerky, but a lot of the times when you get that stuff, you don't know what's in it. It's a lot of chemicals, it's a lot of preservatives, it's a lot of stuff you don't want to put in your body. This is why you want to order from Paleo Valley. They have incredible products that taste great, that are super healthy and 100% organic and keto friendly, by the way.
Yeah, very keto friendly and grass-fed beef. Why is it so important? Well, 100% grass-fed beef contains more calcium, magnesium, potassium, zinc, and a ton of other stuff. And by the way, did you know that the 100% grass-fed beef sticks are made 100% in the USA, grass-fed finished beef, and all organic spices. Virtually every other similar snack stick product uses GMO corn, I'll take some of that, GMO corn, or soy-based citric acid encapsulated in hydrogenated oils to process their products. Yucky, yuck, yuck. That sounds like cancer. Body. On a stick. That's what you said. You want grass-fed beef sticks? You don't want cancer on a stick. Try these out. They taste delicious as well. That's one of the main things. Very convenient snack when you're on the go. So yeah, listen, give these things a go. All you got to do is go to paleovalley.com. That's paleovalley.com. Paleovalley.com is the website. And Believe 15 is the order that's going to give you 15% off. And it's also going to let Paleo Valley know that we sent you there. So yeah, you support us, you support your bank, support your wallet, and you support your intestines as well. You're not putting nastiness in there. Paleovalley.com, Believe 15, 15% off. Okay, let's get back into it. Main event, Tyron Woodley, Jake Paul. I knew it was going to happen. I knew. I said, I alluded. I went up as, I'm such a little pussy. I'm such a little bitch. I went as close as I could with saying it, but I knew Tyron was going to lose this fight because he doesn't fight. And there was a tweet going around everywhere. I mean, he does fight. He's a very dangerous person. He's a dangerous person when he lets it go, you know, but he's a victim of his own success or his own power. He wants that one shot, you know. And I kind of knew going into it, you know, just having a really, really powerful overhand right or a powerful left hook, just having power in general. And of course, he has technique as well when he throws. That doesn't make you a boxer. You know what I mean? Whilst Jake Paul isn't a fucking tremendous boxer, he's a bigger dude. He is taller. He's longer. And he does generally have higher output. And that's what we saw Saturday night. Jay just had the higher output. He wasn't the better boxer necessarily, but he threw more and he landed more. Not much more, but he landed more. And Tyron, for the most part, just waiting for that perfect opportunity. And I just didn't want to say that publicly because I wanted him to win. I wanted him to do well, and I didn't want to put that negativity out there. But
I don't know. You have a relationship with the guy, and the reality is you're wishing him the best. So you don't, you know, you're not trying to be like, oh, I told you so. It's not important. This is actually a good quality for that you have. It's not more important for you to be right than it is to be a good friend.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely. Yeah, thank you for putting it that way, because that's kind of what it came down to, because, you know, it's not about me being right. You know what I mean? I did fear in the back of my mind that that's what was going to happen. You know, Tyron definitely had his moments, but he just, every round was close. Every round was definitely close. You know what I mean? It's not like Tyron got beat up. Far from it. In fact, if anyone was more scared or intimidating, it was Tyron, you know. But he just didn't throw enough. And guess what? In boxing, you win by throwing your hands. And I've seen a tweet doing the rounds everywhere. I don't know who wrote it first, but everyone's copying it and saying, Tyron Woodley, the only type of guy to not throw hands in a sport that's only about throwing hands, because he didn't do it enough. When he did, he looked dangerous. He looked very dangerous and explosive and fast. But you got to put combinations together. He needed to cut off the ring, force him into the corner, take away the reach advantage. What Tyron was doing, Jake's the taller, longer guy, as I just said, right? And he was, so Tyron's standing at range, right? Just outside of range where the taller guy can't catch him. So then Jake was coming in with a jab, right? And then at that point there, Tyron's trying to counter. Well, Jake is at the end of his jab. It's full extension. So Tyron's not close. So Tyron can't actually physically reach him there, but he's trying to throw punches. He's trying to counter he was trying to counter Jake Paul. When you're the shorter guy, that's not what you do. When you're the shorter guy, you got to press the action. Think back to Mike Tyson back in the day. You know, you see the training footage now when he was younger, that amazing head movement drills that he would do, side to side, in, fast, boom, 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 boom. That's what you got to do. You can't stand on the outside and look to counter. So the game plan was kind of flawed coming in from the get-go. And then on top of that, the output just wasn't there.
I feel like the frustrating thing about Tyron is that he did look like he had all of the physical attributes to beat Jake Paul in that fight. Like, if he would have went for it at any point in that fight, I feel like he could have pressured Jake Paul. Because Jake, when Jake was being pressured, there was a couple moments, obviously, in round three, right? That was the big moment where he knocked him down. No, it was round four where he knocked him down. I thought he won round three. I thought he won round four. Those were the only two rounds that I thought that he won. Tyron was complaining about one of the judges only giving him two rounds. Those are the two that I thought he won. I thought that Jake, honestly, the big difference was Jake was using the jab the whole time. It wasn't that Jake was doing anything that crazy. You know, he looked more beat up. Jake was the worse for wear. Jake was retreating more. Tyron was taking the center of the ring. But Jake was just landing that jab so much more, and it was frustrating for Tyron. It's like, Tyron, what are you doing, dude? Just sort of swinging on this guy. He obviously fears your power. He's backing up away from you. He's intimidated by you. It was just sort of frustrating, and I don't know if Tyron thought he was winning. He threw his hands up at the end like he won, and I was like, what? Like, everyone, my son, who's 8, was like, what?
Oh, really? Yeah, well, that's not a good sign. I mean, the thing is, that's what they do, right? Whenever it's a close, because the reality is, it was close, right? I'm not here to shit on Tyron Woodley, and I wish him all the best. And by the way, I was with his manager, Malky Kaur. He gave me a ride over to the arena. He was staying at the same hotel as me. And Malky, I've known him for a while. He's a manager to a lot of big names, Joel Romero, Jorge Masvidal, as well as tons of other fighters and tons of other athletes. So shout out Malky for giving me a ride over. I was waiting for a car to get there. And he stepped up, and he was telling me, and I won't go into details because it's none of my business to talk about, But we did talk about what Tyron would be generating for this fight, and it's a fucking large number. So well done to Tyron, but I'm not here to shit on him. But, you know, he's walking away from that with a lot of money. But, yeah, I kind of forgot my point, what I was going to say.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, no, it was close. Every round was close. Every round was close. But I agree with you 100%. It was round three and round four that Tyron won. Other than that, I thought Jake won all the other rounds. And I saw somebody posted the actual official scorecards on Twitter. And that's how the two judges that gave it to Tyron saw it. Complete shutout, apart from those two rounds. And the other guy obviously gave Tyron more rounds.
Which is crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I heard that and I was like, what was he saying? I don't also understand the nuance of boxing judging. I don't really understand the nuance of MMA judging that well, to be honest. But with boxing, like, how much more do power shots mean than jabs and non-power shots? So I guess Tyron did land the bigger shots throughout the fight, and he did take the center of the ring. I don't know how much that, you know, is taken into account in boxing judging.
Yeah, well, I don't have the rules in front of me, the definition of the scorecards, the breakdown of the rule set right now. But Jay landed some good power shots as well. You know, Tyron was looking for the uppercut. That was nice. Oh, no, Jake was looking for the uppercut, pardon me. Jake definitely landed some good shots as well. But, yeah, you're right. It was more volume, output, and tempo from Jake as opposed to a few power bombs on the side of Tyron Woodley. And I kind of knew that was going to be the case going in. What do you think? Do you think he gets the tattoo or not?
Okay, so yeah, all right. So let's give a little insight. If you didn't watch,
can we play the video as well? Do we have the post fight speech, or can we play that on YouTube?
Yeah, that moment. I mean, I hope I don't want to get copyright stricken. Yeah. But if before the fight, they both made an agreement in one of the final press conferences that the loser would get "I love the other one's name" tattooed on their body somewhere, right?
And so, by the way, it was all Jake's idea.
It was all Jake's idea.
And that's a ballsy one, because I'll tell you what, I was thinking about this. I wouldn't take that bet, even though I would go into a fight with Jake or whoever it is. You're always confident coming into a fight unless you're not, right? But generally, even if you are supremely confident and you know you're going to win this fight, and they were at a press conference and they said to me, make a bet. I'd say, fuck no. No way. I'm going to kick your ass, but I don't need some stupid childish bet as motivation.
Well,
I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. But the way, sorry, I'll let you speak, but the way Jake did it was kind of masterful. He kind of backed Tyron into a corner. And he said, well, if you're so confident, take the bet. And Tyron kind of, I'm not going to say fell for it, but he said, all right, cool, because his confidence was there as well. So now he's in this position where he lost the fight, and he's saying he wants to run it back. By the way, I don't think anyone wants to see that again. There was a fair amount of booing going on as well in the audience, because there were some exciting moments. There were some down moments where there wasn't too much action. I don't think people want to see that, but still.
Jake is trying to regularly create viral moments, meme moments. He doesn't really give a shit about that stuff. Like, here's what Jake has. He has a sense of humor, right? So he's talking shit to Tyron, and he's like, oh, yeah, I want that butt. And he's making these jokes. And, like, Tyron even at one point had to stop himself. He's like, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me to, but I'm not going to say it. It's like, Tyron, you can't not call him gay or the F word. Stop going for his shit. Like, obviously, right? So, like, Jake is making those jokes. He doesn't really give a shit. If Jake loses, he has this tattoo that says, I love Tyron Woodley. That's just a story for him. He's got a billion dumb fucking tattoos. Probably. He's probably gotten tattoos for his YouTube channel, right? Tyron's not getting a dumb tattoo on him.
No, for Jake, he'd probably wear that with pride.
He'd be hilarious.
I remember I had that big fight with Tyron Woodley. It was massive pay-per-view on Showtime. And to be honest, it would be a cool story.
I have a Milo and Otis tattoo. Do you know how many dumb tattoos I have?
Oh, I do. I mean, I don't. I've never studied it, but I can well imagine. But still, for Tyron, because he's a little more proud and he takes himself a little bit more too serious. Not too serious, a little more serious.
So in the ring after the fight, Tyron's like, you know, I feel like we got to run it back. You know, Logan Paul starts laughing in his face there. It's just embarrassing, to be honest with you. Like, nobody really is looking for Tyron Woodley to fight Jake Paul again. But Jake Paul goes, all right, we'll run it back if you get that tattoo you said you'd get. So Tyron's like, bet. Okay. Because from Tyron's mind, he goes, all right, dude, well, I just made however much money Malky Kawa told Bisping he made.
A lot of money. You could get a lot of tattoos removed with that amount of money.
And that's the point. Worst case scenario, he'll get it changed, covered up. It doesn't really matter. He will get it covered up at one point. This is the moment. Yeah.
Let's have a look.
If you get the tattoo,
I'm not scared of running back.
If you get the tattoo, I love Jake Paul, let's run it back.
Bet.
Look at Logan.
Let's go.
Oh, God. This is the dumbest thing ever. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, number one, it's not going to happen because I don't believe the reality is, of course, Tyron wants to do that. Of course, Jake wants to do it to a certain degree as well because he beat him once, probably thinks I'll beat him again. But I don't think the appetite is there for the pay-per-view market and the Showtime executives. They just did it, you know. If that was a sensational fight, if that was a barn burner and it was truly close, then maybe. But I just don't think the appetite for the buying public would be there.
I agree. I don't see them running it back. I mean, look, the reality is I think Jake Paul's fights anybody in the world right now. He's going to sell however many pay-per-views. He's going to be a pay-per-view star. The people want to watch this guy fight. And here's what I'll say. I got to give credit to Jake Paul because Jake Paul is coming along nicely. He looked good at that fight. I know that he was fighting Tyron Woodley, and Tyron Woodley never really pulled the trigger. But at the same time, it's like this is what he's supposed to be doing, fighting guys that are better each time. We'll see who he's going to fight next. It is interesting. I want to get your opinion on that, obviously. But I think Jake Paul will continue to get better because I think he looked better in this fight. We didn't get to really see him in the Ben Askren fight, but he looked substantially better in this fight than he looked against the basketball player that he fought. You know, he's progressing. He's a young, athletic dude who has got a lot of money, really real training partners, real coaches. All that shit matters. If you really just put your focus and mind to it, why not, dude?
Yeah. No, absolutely. One person we never mentioned, we should have done, Tyson Fury's brother, Tommy Fury. Yeah. He was on there Saturday night. And to be honest, they seem to be at a crossroads, and they actually had a run-in with one another backstage. And then they, you know, that was definitely going to be a viral moment. They were talking shit to one another. Security had to get involved and whatnot. Tommy Fury, Tyson's little brother. You know, he's won a few fights now. I forget what his record is. 7-0 now. But I'll be honest, Saturday night, I don't think... See, they were destined, they were on a crossroads. They looked like they were going to be on a collision course, but I don't think And I'm not hating on Tommy Fury. He's a young boxer, and he's clearly athletic. I mean, Jesus Christ, have you seen the physique on the guy? My God, it's pretty amazing to see that Tyson Fury and Tommy Fury came from the same gene pool. Do you know what I mean? Because Tyson Fury has been way out of shape.
It's like twins, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Tommy Fury looks like he's fucking carved out of fucking granite. But he's a young boxer. You know, we had a big opportunity here against a guy that was way smaller than him, who only had one boxing fight, who is an MMA fighter. There he is on the scale. He's
a handsome guy.
A handsome guy. Beautiful guy.
Beautiful guy.
Like that guy.
But hair, look at that face. Let's go.
Tommy cut 20 pounds to make the weight. He's way.
What was the weight?
I forget now, but still. But in the ring, he looked significantly better. And he should have taken that guy out, really. He should have. What was his name? I forget. Anthony Prettyboy Taylor. He should have taken him out. And if he had done, then he could have made a case to fight Jake next. And you never know, maybe they do that. But realistically, that's what Jake should do. And we'll move on from this in a second. Mm. But that's what Jake should do. He should fight now another boxer. But the problem is another boxer low down at at his level of the career, his level of boxing isn't really a pay-per-view star. That's why he's taking these MMA guys, because they're marquee names. They have name value and they can sell pay-per-view. And it's good for Jake because it keeps the hype train going. It keeps the momentum going. You know, if he goes up against another boxer that's 4-0, okay, Jake is by far the A-side and he's the guy that's going to sell it. But if you want that story, you want that sizzle, you want to get the public emotionally involved, that, oh, hold on, this might be the one where the problem child gets put on his face. This might be the one where he gets knocked out and made a fool of. That's what sells. That's what people want to tune in for. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure Tommy Fury would be the guy. But still, either way, listen, can't hate on the guy. What he's doing is he's turned himself into a fucking big joy in boxing. And, you know, God bless him. God bless. You can't hate on the entrepreneurship of it. You really can't.
Well, so Tommy Fury, I'm trying to actually for his, because I don't know the boxing weight classes, so I guess he's competed at cruiserweight and he's competed.
Yeah, there's about fucking 5,000 of them. There's about 5,000 weight classes.
Are they the same size? This is what I'm trying to get from all this.
No, they're far from the same size.
Tommy Fury's way bigger,
taller, way heavier.
Well, he's not taller. He's 6 feet tall.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the other guy's shorter. I don't know what he is, but maybe someone looked that up. But,
Jake Paul's 6'1", Tommy Fury's 6'4". I'm just saying, like, you know, and also...
You're talking about Jake and Tommy. Yeah, no, they're about the same size.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, I mean, look, and he was
And they box kind of similarly because they're both raw. They're both still novices, if you will, in their boxing career. So that would be a good matchup. And with him being on that card, being on the undercard, you know, there's a bit of sizzle there. Maybe a lot of people saw him fight and might make sense.
Well, look, I mean, look, good for Jake Paul. Do you think Jake Paul has a future in boxing? Just final note on this and then we'll move on and we'll wrap up somewhat soon. But yep. do you think he has a real promising career in the sport of professional boxing?
I mean, he's had 4 fights. If he continues progressing at the rate he's progressing now. Oh, by the way, we got to play this because this was in the fucking notes. The clip of Dana White at the post-fight press conference Saturday night. And I got to say, this is a funny clip of Dana because I think it's John Morgan from MMA Junkie says to Dana, hey, Jake Paul said, next time he sees you or when he sees you, he's going to knock you out. And can we play that clip? Harrington put it in the notes, Brian, because this kind of relates to the question that you're asking about Jake's next opponent. Listen to this.
Jake Paul keeps mentioning your name. He says he's going to knock you out if he runs across you in Vegas. Are you tuning in and cheering for Tyron tomorrow?
It actually makes sense. I'm 52 years old. I'm in the age bracket of guys he fights. So, I could see him wanting to fight me. It's all he fights are 50-year-olds. Get in line. There's plenty of people that would like to assault me. Get in line. It's a long fucking line, buddy. You're going to be waiting for a while.
Oh, that's pretty fucking good. That's pretty funny. And he's right. See, that's the thing. He does fight older guys. So in to answer your question, in terms of progressing his boxing career, if he wants to continue making money and doing these big paydays, then he needs someone with a bit of star value. Lower level boxers don't have the star value. They're not known. There's only one now that I can think of. That's Tommy Fury. So that does make all the sense.
Did you see the Conor McGregor tweet?
I'm salivating.
Yeah, just simply cryptic. I'm salivating. I mean, obviously about this, but then Jake Paul came out and said, you know, get back to the gym and win or some shit like that.
Sober up or something, yeah.
Which is crazy. But I mean, look, that. What about that? And I know we spent a lot of time talking about Conor, but that almost seems like a fight that now should happen. Like right well, now well, seems like if they're going to do it, now is almost the time.
Well, the thing is, Jake Paul has a smart bunch of people around him. I know his manager. I know some of his team. I was talking to him at the weekend. They're smart, switched on individuals. Very, very smart people. He hasn't got a Mickey Mouse team around him. Same with Connor. You know, Audi and Paradigm Sports Management. They are a very, very professional outfit. The only way, though, well, you never know. It happened with Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, you know, so maybe there could be a co-promotion, although the UFC aren't really into the business of doing that. And certainly when Jake's out there threatening to knock out Dana White, that, you know, Dana likes, he's a businessman, you know what I mean? So he'd leave the emotion out of it. But the only way I would really see that happening is if when Conor's fought out his UFC contract, and he'd have to do their own promotion, you know, which might happen, but that would, I don't know how many fights Conor has on his contract. I have no knowledge of that stuff whatsoever, but that would have to happen first, in my opinion.
Where there's a will, there's a way, right?
Exactly.
And if I never say never. If Conor and Jake Paul wanted to fight each other New Year's Eve this year, if they wanted that to happen, that's a possibility. That's not crazy. And I've seen, you know, we watched it happen with Mayweather. You just mentioned that. The UFC would obviously have to not only give him permission, but take a piece of it. But Jake Paul versus Conor McGregor,
that's a big fight.
There's nobody you're going to put Conor against that's going to sort of draw that sort of like, because at this point, it's like, and no offense to Conor, it's not shitting on him at all, but he's really had somewhat of a fall from grace with MMA. And I don't think people are going to tune in because Conor McGregor can beat any man in front of it. It's a tough, and so you got to give him guys that are lower ranked, which doesn't really make sense for the career of Conor McGregor, right? This is a guy, his foe, just in terms of pay-per-view generating dollars, I mean, massive.
No, massive. It's one of the biggest you could do. And I hate to say that.
It may be the biggest fight of all time. If they did that right now, I'll say that right now, without maybe the biggest fight of all time.
There's a potential for that because... who was I talking to yesterday? It was someone about the potential pay-per-view buys of this thing. And they were like, well, he's not going to get that many. Because the person I was talking to said the amount of money Tyrone might make if it does X amount of pay-per-view buys. And someone else I was talking to said, he's not going to do that many. I said, well, I don't know. And I know that this isn't how it works. Just because I have 1.9 million people follow me on Instagram, that doesn't mean that when I do something, I'm going to have 1.9 million sales. Social media does not cross over to monetary spend. Simple as that. That does not work. Although there will be a certain element of that. And Jake Paul, I don't know how many followers he has on Instagram. A lot. I know he has 20-odd million YouTube subscribers, right? So you take all that following, and then you take McGregor's following. You know, there is a potential, as I say, for ridiculous pay-per-view buys, and everybody involved makes a shit ton of money.
I mean, wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Dana White buys his son another yacht off that fight. If those two guys want to fight, if I'm all parties involved, I'm saying, guys, let's make this happen right now. They're the same dickhead. They got the same haircut.
Yeah, they're both dickheads. That's a fact. And also, it actually would be good for Conor to come back in a non-mixed martial arts fight, given what happened to his leg. You know what I mean? You don't necessarily want to come back and be doing the wrestling. You don't want to be doing the kicking, the takedowns, the jiu-jitsu. Let that heal up. Boxing, hands only, lots of footwork, but no wrestling, no takedowns, no kicks, no too much trauma on the legs. Get his mojo back. Fight Jake Paul. You know, get the fucking dust off the cobwebs. Get his mojo back and then come back to the UFC with an extra $150 million, $200 million in his bank account. I mean, that's not a bad scenario, actually. In fact, if I'm Conor McGregor, that's what I'm doing.
That is what I'm doing, doggy. And not for nothing, at this point, it's not the same sort of quote-unquote blemish. Like, even Ben Askren has to be going, all right, cool. Thank God. Like, Ben Askren, it sucks.
What do you mean?
Because I think it was much more of a blemish on Jake Paul's career to get starched by, or I'm sorry, on Ben Askren's career to get starched that way by Jake Paul when it was just this guy who hadn't fought anybody. Now that he's showing more potential, he beat Tyron, who's an actual real fighter, you know,
I see what you're saying. Askren wants Jake to go on and fucking destroy everybody. He's like, see?
He's a killer.
Guy's incredible.
He's not even human.
The guy's sloppy. He's tall. He's young. He's got cardio. He's got a gas tank. But I'm done. I don't think I can continue this conversation anymore. Okay, I can only dedicate so much of my time.
You give me this speech at the end of every Jake Paul fight. Bisping's like winded. He's done. It's almost like you look like you're just physically exhausted with Jake Paul.
That's it. No. I was just there last night. I was just there. I was surrounded by all. I got to tell you, fun crowd. That was a fun audience as well. Yeah. A lot of loud, colorful, extravagantly dressed people making a lot of noise.
Puerto Ricans.
I was sitting there exhausted, just like, oh God, can this just get this fucking done? I want to go to sleep. But yeah, fun crowd, fun time. Brian Lewis.
Well, I was going to say, I got to wrap this up, but somewhat quickly. I got a couple minutes left here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do we have any questions? If you didn't rudely interrupt me, this is how we wrapping this up here.
Bisping,
you know what I mean?
Brian, see you in England.
Oh God, let's go, Brian. Oh, by the way, so when we're in England on that tour, You'll have your fight in a few weeks, so you'll be behaving yourself.
Yeah, I'm not drinking. I mean, good.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Because every I'm getting hit up by so many people going, oh, dude, you're gonna be in Dublin? Oh, great, we're gonna hang out after the show. Blah 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 blah. Then I've got tons of people in London. Oh shit, we're coming to the show afterwards, mate. We'll catch up. And then it's every night. And then in Manchester, they're saying it. In Birmingham, they're saying it. It's like, no, it's a tight schedule. It's night after night after night. I can't show up by fucking night. Think, hey, everyone. No voice.
I have an easy gig. I'm doing 15, 20 minutes of warm crowd up. And then I don't have to do anything else, right? I'm done.
You're going to come out at the end with the microphone, go around all the crowd, we'll do some crowd work, Q&A. Yeah, it's easy for you. I'm going to stand up there for 90 minutes and dazzle everybody. But I can't do that hungover, so I'm abstaining from alcohol the whole time.
You're doing a 90-minute show?
I don't know if it's 90. Yeah, something like that.
God bless your soul.
Ooh, baby. Listen, one thing I could talk about is myself. I'm an egomaniac, so it's easy. But the last night, I've been offered a DJ set at a nightclub, a nice nightclub in Glasgow. I don't know if we should do it or not. I think we should just go and enjoy ourselves without having to have the hassle of actually DJing somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Here's the thing. You're going to be annoyed that you took it.
No, I am. Because I'll be like, we're done. And now it's like, oh God, I've got to do that other thing for what? Yeah. A little bit of cash. I'd rather just enjoy the moment and we go and enjoy ourselves. Brian.
I might try to book a night or two doing like a headlining set while I'm in England because I've never performed that. I know a lot of Legion of Skanks fans are out there that want to see it. So I'll let
you're
going to
struggle for the time, though, is what I'm saying.
What do you mean?
Well,
I think we have two nights off.
Yeah, there's one or two. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there's one or two. Yeah. Brian, we got a question to wrap this bad boy up.
Yeah, we have a question from a new contributor who's never once before sent in a question. Not once. Oh,
shoot your questions to bympod@gmail.com. Royce Shafir, who is this?
Oh, my God. Roland Vixen.
Hello, Louis. This is Walter Lanze from Europe. And, Michael, for this question, I need you to because this question is only for Louis. Louis, I'm putting you on the spot right now. Do you remember Michael Bisping's full name?
Ooh.
Michael Galen.
The full name, you said. Full name.
Michael Galen.
I've just revoked your participation certificate in Tales from the Octagon.
Michael Galen. Patrick Bisping.
Way off. Not even close. Anybody wants to warm up for me on Tales of the Octagon? And by the way, Lewis, there was a potential he wasn't going to be there. I've got a short list of people. If you guys want to come, hit me up because Lewis isn't coming anyway.
He was already hitting up other people.
No, I wasn't. I was dedicating some thought to it because you were about to leave me in the lurch. You know what I mean?
I wasn't leaving in the lurch. I had to make some decisions.
You were Lewis the Lurch Lever is what you were always
Lewis the Lurch Lever with Billy the Bat, the Bastard.
Bastard. The Bourbon Street Bastard versus Lewis the Lurch Lever.
What is your full name?
I don't really want to say it because I'm giving away personal deets, but Michael Gavin Joseph Galen Bisping.
Michael Gavin Joseph Galen Bisping. I just remember
Would you like my bank details and my social security number and my national insurance number and all that good stuff as well? You know, if you really want to go down this.
Can I be honest with you? One time when you were upstairs sleeping when I was at your house?
Yeah.
I put your Rolex on. I just felt it for like a minute. It was so nice.
Yeah. Nice. Good. Glad you liked it. All right. Are we done?
We're done. Thank you for watching. We'll be back on Thursday with another show. fights this weekend, right?
Yeah, you know, massive fight card this weekend. Yeah. Darren Till taking on Derek Brunson. We got tons of British guys on there as
British
well.
So
I'm
invasion.
Excited for that. The British invasion of Las Vegas. Maybe Mackenzie Dern joining us on the show as well. Cool. She's got a first main event coming up. We'll have a guest on Thursday either way. But yeah, as always, thanks for watching. Tell your friends, subscribe, all that good stuff. Lewis, pleasure as always. And yeah, take care. See you on Thursday.
Bam.